Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in highest.
Let's try that one more time. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. Today, we participate in a liturgy of contrasts. Standing at the gates of Jerusalem, our palms are waving in celebration, our cloaks spread for the coming king. We enter into the triumphal procession with shouts of praise, Hosanna in the highest. But within the hour, our voices will turn to angry cries as we retell the story of the passion. Crucify him is our symbolic participation in that dark moment. No matter how many times I participate in this ritual, that shift that occurs is a chilling reminder of our heart's capacity for light and shadow. Truth be told, I miss the days when Palm Sunday was observed just as Palm Sunday, without the passion narrative. The day was filled with hope and excitement, and the sacred story unfolded throughout the week in real time. Those days before Easter, we were immersed in the walk to the cross, witnesses to the harsh reality of Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. And then deep in Holy Week, we're met with that stunned silence of Good Friday. But if you wanted to avoid all that unpleasantness, it was just as simple as not participating in those services during Holy Week and showing up on Sunday for Easter. This liturgy that includes both palm and passion thrusts us into an encounter with Christ's suffering. In sharp contrast to the triumphal entrance that we made, we leave in an unsteady silence. On some level, our hearts recognize this journey to the cross as our own. We are all too familiar with the pattern of the cross. Life, death, resurrection, hope. So we begin the pilgrimage today in the city of Jerusalem. It was a time of preparation for the Passover. That was the most holy time in the Jewish calendar. Faithful worshipers gathered there to celebrate this great feast, commemorating their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. The air was charged with anticipation, and Jesus entered in not with a mighty steed in power, but on a little donkey. He fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he riding on a donkey. So Jesus' followers stood by the side of the road, waving their palms, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Scholars translate Hosanna to mean save us. The palm branches hearkened back to a Jewish hero who once rode into Jerusalem named Maccabeus, and he rode in victory. Now their bondage was from occupation of the Romans. Dare they see Jesus as their liberator, the one whom they had waited for, the Savior? Dare we see Jesus as our deliverer from our bondage and suffering? An article in the New York Times years ago written by David Brooks was entitled, What Suffering Does. In the article, he muses about a culture that seems to be obsessed with the goal of happiness and yet finds its deepest meaning in the midst of hard times. He writes, "When people are thrust down into these deeper zones, they're forced to confront the fact that they can't determine what happens in the midst of suffering. As people endure this suffering, they find that they are not who they believe themselves to be. While some are not healed on the other side of pain, they are undoubtedly changed. When adversity brings us to our knees, that is when our hearts are ready to cry, 'Hosanna, save us.' Yet how many of us white-knuckle our way back to stability?" In the letter to the Philippians this morning, Paul wrote from the bowels of a jail cell, possibly at the edge of his own grave. This man who knew suffering firsthand urged his followers to let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This beautiful poetic reflection challenges our notion of power in this culture. It speaks to a new freedom found in dispossession, in emptying oneself of the things that bind us. It conceives of surrender as a courageous act of faith rather than weakness. The followers of Christ are called to be of that same mind, to empty ourselves in humility. Something new can be born of what has been laid to rest. Surrender goes against everything we know about success. Choosing to let go of our resistance, it shifts something deep within our hearts. In essence, we die to our need to control the outcome. And the space that's created, something is born anew in us. Surrender, my friends, is the beginning of redemption. In that sense, our path to transformation mirrors Christ's walk to the cross. Theologian Paul Tillich wrote of a witness of the Nuremberg war crime trials who lived in a grave for a time. He hid alongside several others who had escaped from the Nazi war camps and from the gas chamber. In a nearby grave, a woman gave birth to a baby. It was a baby boy. As the child uttered its first cry, the man prayed, "Great God, hast thou finally sent the Messiah? For who else than the Messiah himself can be born in a grave?" Our faith journey places us squarely in that tension between palm and passion. We live in the relief that Jesus has come to save us and the foreboding that there are crosses to bear before we can find new life. Our hearts are both light and shadow, desiring and resisting God's call to us. While we'd like to avoid the horror of the passion, it is in the crucible of the cross that our own transformation is possible. The only way to redemption is to walk the path of most resistance: life, death, resurrection, hope. In the shadows of the cross, we cry out, "Hosanna, save us." And Jesus meets us just where we are, and brings hope for liberation from our own bondage. It is only the Messiah that can empower us to be born anew in our own graves. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.